Nayanam Namaskritya Naram Chevan Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chapter entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 35. Sankarshanaya Shukshmaya Durantayantakaya Cha Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Prajunna Yanta Atmane Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya
Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya
Durantaya Durantayam Tikaya Cha Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Prajumna Yamta Atmane Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya
Sankarshanaya Sukshmaya
Durantayam Tikaya Cha Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Namo Vishwa Prabodaya
Prajumna Yanta Atmane
Prajumna Yanta Atmane
Nama
I'm from my obeisances unto you. Oh, sorry. Wrong verse. Okay, we'll start again. Sankarshanaya, unto the master of integration. Shukshmaya, unto the subtle unmanifested material ingredients. Durantaya, unto the unsurpassable. Antakaya, unto the master of disintegration.
Unto the master of disintegration.
Cha.
Also.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Obeisances.
Vishwa Prabhojaya.
Vishwa Prabhojaya.
Unto the master of the development of the universe.
Unto the master of the development of the universe.
Prajumnaya.
Prajumnaya.
Unto Lord Prajumna.
Unto Lord Prajumna.
Unto Atmane,
Atmane,
unto the super soul in everyone's heart. Translation of the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are the origin of the subtle material ingredients, the master of all integration, as well as the master of disintegration. The predominating deity named Sankarshana, and the master of all intelligence, known as the predominating deity Prajumna. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Translation responsibly. My dear Lord.
My dear Lord.
You are the origin of the subtle material ingredients.
You are the origin of the subtle material ingredients.
The master of all integration.
The master of all integration.
As well as the master of all disintegration.
As well as the master of all disintegration.
The predominating deity named Sankarshana.
The predominating deity named Sankarshana.
And the master of all intelligence.
And the master of all intelligence.
Known as the predominating deity Prajumna.
Known as the predominating deity Prajumna.
Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Purport. The whole universe is maintained by the integrating power of the Supreme Lord, who is known in that capacity by the name Sankarsana. The material scientists may have discovered the law of gravity, which maintains the integration of objects within the material energy, yet the master of all integration can create devastation by the disintegrating, blazing fire emanating from his mouth. A description of this can be found in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, wherein the universal form of the Lord is described. The master of integration is also the destroyer of this world by virtue of his disintegrating energy. Sankarsana is the master of integration and disintegration. Whereas Pradyumna, another feature of Lord Vasudeva, is responsible for universal growth and maintenance. The word Shukshmaya is significant because within this gross material body there are subtle material bodies named mind, namely mind, intelligence and ego. The Lord in his different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Sankarsana, maintains... Can we just turn this down a bit? Turn it down, just a touch. It's kind of reverberating. The Lord in his different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Sankarsana, maintains both the gross and subtle material elements of this world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the gross material elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the subtle material elements are mind, intelligence, and ego. All of them are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And this will be further explained in the following verse. Omigyan timadangasya kinanjana shalakaya chakshurnmulitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dati swa padantikam vancha kalpatu rubyascha kripa sindhu di evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're talking about the material energy. There are two energies, paraprakriti and aparaprakriti. This is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says there are two worlds, two energies, two types of prakriti. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, it describes there are five subject matters in the Gita. What are the five? Jiva,
Ishwara,
Prakriti,
Kala,
Karma,
Kala.
So those four, and the karma is not fixed. You can do away with karma. You can get rid of all of your karma. How do you get rid of all of your karma?
By devotion.
Yeah, by making akarma, then you destroy karma. Otherwise you're bound by... Everyone's bound by karma. But you can destroy karma. Karma is not permanent. Everything else is permanent. So Krishna says, Ishwara. Ishwara means God. That means Krishna. Ishwara, Parama, Krishna, Satchit Ananda, Vigraha. So Krishna is Ishwara, ultimately. Right? And then from Ishwara, we have Jiva, we have Prakriti, and we have Kala. Prakriti means two energies, right? It means superior and inferior. Now here we're speaking about the inferior. Why are we speaking about the inferior energy? Why does Bhagavatam spend so much time speaking about the inferior energy? Why doesn't it just concentrate on the spiritual world, all the pastimes in the spiritual world? Why do we need to hear about the material energy? Yeah, because you're trapped. Okay, trapped in the material world. Guna. Guna means the ropes. The ropes bind us, the modes bind us. So we're trapped in the material world. You can't get out of the material world. You can't get out of your prison. You can't get out of bondage until you understand what it is that is binding you. Right? If you don't understand what it is that has you, then you can't get out. So therefore it is described in detail. This is what is binding you. So it says here that there are different lords. The quadruple expansions, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. So these are the four Sankarshan. So it says that Lord Pradumna is in charge of intelligence. Aniruddha is in charge of the mind. And Sankarshana is in charge of false ego. So in the sixth canto, we'll get there in a few years. Sixth canto, it describes Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva's position is interesting. Shiva Tattva. He's unlike anything else. Because he is not considered to be Ishvara, Supreme Ishvara. He's not considered to be the Supreme Lord. Right? It is not Vishnu Tattva. Right? But it is also not Jiva Tattva. There's so many tattvas. Right? Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva. Right? So many different tattvas which are there. So many different subject matters. But Shiva is interesting because he's not Jiva Tattva, but he's not Vishnu Tattva. Something in between. It's an interesting personality. Now in the sixth canto, Lord Shiva is meditating. We have to learn these things. Because many people think Shiva is supreme. Many people worship Shiva, both in the East and the West. Just like we have one girl staying with us at the farm at the moment, Western girl. So she's like a woofer, volunteer girl. Yogi, very nice. She's been practicing many years. She's stayed many ashrams and places. But she's more attached to Lord Shiva than Krishna. So, you have to understand the Bhagavatam and the Vedas deeply so you can explain to people actually what is the essence. So we explain to her, actually, Lord Shiva in the sixth canto, he has the Rudraksha beads and he's meditating. Right? And then it says, who is he meditating upon? It says, Sankarshana. So even he meditates on someone high. She understands the concept. But she said, I'm still attached to Shiva. Right? So that's okay. Because Shiva will lead you to Krishna. Right? He will take you to Krishna because he is meditating on Krishna. So Sankarshana is the Lord of false ego. Right? And who is Lord Shiva the Lord of? False ego. Yeah. That's his domain. If you, just like in the 89th chapter, second last chapter of the 10th canto, Arjuna and Krishna, they go for a trip. Where do they go?
Mahavishnu.
They go to visit Mahavishnu. Because what did Mahavishnu do?
He stole
the sons of the Brahmana. Six sons. Right? Takes the sons. Why?
Because he wanted to see Krishna.
Yeah, because he wants to see Krishna. Interesting. This is an interesting point. We've been studying this. Very interesting. Because who is Mahavishnu? He's Krishna. Who is Krishna? He's Mahavishnu. So why does Mahavishnu want to see Krishna? That's an interesting point. It needs to be contemplated. We need to contemplate these things. Why does God want to see God? Right? This is like the essence of the Bhagavatam, the Rahasya. This is Gupta. This is like the hidden descriptions. Now we need to study these things. Why is it that God would want to see God? Because Krishna is all attractive. Right? So attractive, even his other forms are attracted to him. Right? You have to contemplate this and understand and meditate on this. Jamashtami is coming up. Interesting, because we've been studying Bhagavatam now since 2005. How many years is that? Too long. 14 years, right? 14. So it took us 14 years, and tonight we're finishing the 10th canto. 14 years. And when are we finishing the 10th canto? Right before Krishna's birthday. Significant. Krishna controls everything. And then Monday night, 2 days after his birthday, we start 11th canto, where he speaks to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita. That's incredible. Right? The Uddhava Gita is incredible, like philosophy. It's the Bhagavad Gita, but it's much, much bigger and much more elaborate. Krishna is speaking. So, we've been contemplating this point, right? Because now this Jamashtami is coming. So you'll be chanting your rounds. You know, we have to prepare ourselves in our consciousness for Jamashtami. And then on Jamashtami, we'll be chanting our rounds in a very deep state of consciousness. And these are the things we have to contemplate. Why is Mahavishnu attracted to Krishna? Because if you understand that, if you realize that, then that will help you become attracted to Krishna. So you have to meditate on this. It's significant that Krishna would have that pastime, second last chapter of the 10th canto. That's how he finishes his pastime. Even Mahavishnu, even I am attracted to me. It's an interesting point. You have to really meditate deeply to understand this. Right? So Mahavishnu takes, right? And Lord Shiva, it just says when they travel, Arjuna and Krishna are traveling through the different coverings. In the material, this universe we're in now, I'll explain this the other night to the devotees, say, if this universe is 1 centimeter across, just you know, comparatively, if you bring it all down to 1 centimeter, then the coverings on the universe are about 2 kilometers. Right? It's pretty amazing what we're trapped in. That's why we have to understand all this. We're trapped. Right? Try to get out of this. Right. This universe is 311 trillion miles, yojanas actually, wide. And then that's nothing compared to what's covering us. How are you going to get out of this? You can't even get out of your lease for your house. You can't even get out of your wife giving you a hard time. You can't even get out of your husband making stupid mistakes. You can't get it. You're trapped in this material world. Right? And now we have to get out of all of this. So when they were traveling through Arjuna and Krishna, they went through. So they went through earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. And when you go through ego, that is Lord Shiva's dham. Because he's the lord of the false ego. And that is the biggest covering by far. 10 times bigger than everything else before it. Right, and that's what's covering us. What's our main problem in the material world? Right, false ego. Right? And then you add mind and intelligence and the material body, and now you're in big trouble. Right, we don't even know how to get out of it. Right? So false ego is very powerful. So the lord of false ego, he is meditating on Sankarsana, Lord Sankarsana. Right? So we have to understand the functions of these different elements. If you want to get out of the material world, you have to understand what you're covered by. Now, the first thing you're covered by is the Mahabhutas, which means the gross material body, right? And identification with the body is our main problem. If you look at Prabhupada's teachings, right, all of us dedicated our life to living by and studying Prabhupada's teachings. What's the most prominent thing that Prabhupada told us? Yeah, nearly everyone will say that. You're not this body. You know, if I think, you know, if someone said to me, what's the main teaching that your founder Acharya gave you? I would probably say, you're not this body. Because that is that he just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And what was the first thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? When Arjuna's ready to listen, Shishyasteham Sadimam Tom Prapanam. Now I'm going to listen. Krishna says, Asocham, Anvasocham Sha. Right? What does he begin with? What's the first letter of the alphabet? No. First letter of the alphabet. Yeah, if you don't get this right, you don't get breakfast today. First letter? A. A. That is the first letter of the alphabet. Asocham. Krishna starts at the beginning. What's the beginning? Arjuna. You speak learned words, but you are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Powerful. Just meditate on that one instruction, you'll become self-realized. Right? One instruction. If you meditate on that, you become fully sacrificed. Krishna says, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. You lament not for the living nor for the dead. Right? Who laments for the living and the dead? All of us. We lament for the living and the dead. Right? We're attached to things which are living and attached to things which are dead. All these things we are meditating. So, Krishna is saying in the Gita, we have to overcome this attachment to the body. Then, more subtle than the body is the mind. Right? Now, the mind gives you a lot of problems. You have to understand how the mind works. What does the mind do? You have to understand it. Right? You want to conquer the mind, you have to understand it. What does it do?
Sankalpa,
vikalpa. Sankalpa, vikalpa, yeah. Raga, dvesha. Right? Attached and averse. I like it, I don't like it. That's the mind all day. I like it, I don't like it. You wake up in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's cold. Do you want to get up? Maybe not. Maybe not. So you have to tell the mind, hey, we're getting up now. Right? You don't like it? Okay, that's your problem. We're getting up. By the time you get in the shower, you have a nice warm shower, you'll be okay. And then you finish with the cold. You do that? Finish with cold? Hands up, you finish with cold. Really? Huh. You should. It says in Ayurveda, you should always finish with cold. Last 30 years, I've been devoted, always finish with cold. You know, finish with the cold water. It makes you very strong. Then you won't get sick. It makes you strong. You should do it. Finish cold. Maybe if you can't do cold, then go cool. But you should finish cold. It's Ayurveda says that. Finishing cold water. Cool bath is very invigorating. It makes you strong. And then, you know, when we were young, when I was brahmachari, like, you know, when I first joined the temple, we used to have cold shower in winter. You know, like now, this time when it's cold, we used to go have cold shower. And then one time, I went to Tasmania. And then I was having cold shower there for 2 weeks, cold shower every day, no hot water. May, like really cold. And then I came back to Melbourne and then I went to take bath and then I turned on the cold water tap and I jumped in. I thought, oh, I turned on the hot water tap. So, and then I looked and I thought, no, I did turn on the cold water because it was so cold in Tasmania, the cold water in Melbourne was warm. That's how cold it was. Right? So that's all the mind. Right? It's just the mind. The mind, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. That's the mind, does all day. You have to learn to control the mind. That's why if you have a cool bath, a finish on cool, you know, have warm shower, but then at the end, have some cold, right? Makes the mind strong. Right? And then you can learn to control the mind. That's why we have brahmachari ashrams, right? Because it teaches you mind and sense control. Because when you, if you go into grihastha life, which most will, right? When they go into grihastha life, then you have to learn to control the mind and senses. Because then you're associating with the opposite sex, and you have kids, and so you have to become focused. So that's why brahmachari ashram is there, brahmacharini ashram. Right? Learn to control the mind and the senses. Right? And then that's something you'll have your whole life. Right? You become strong. Right? What else does the mind do? Right? Think, it's always doing, I like it, I don't like it. And then what else does it do?
Attracts us to the material nature.
Yeah, attracts us to material nature. But specifically, according to the Vedas, what does the mind do?
Thinking, feeling,
whatever. Yeah, thinking, feeling, and willing. Krishna also does this. Krishna also does this. Krishna, because Krishna has a mind. He's the supreme person. Every person has a mind. Thinking. Krishna has jnana shakti. Krishna thinks something. He knows everything. Jnana shakti. Right? And then thinking, feeling. Right? That is called ichcha. Ichcha shakti. Right? I'm feeling. What would it be like? I feel I want to do something. Ichcha shakti. And then kriya shakti. These are three of Krishna's main potencies. Kriya shakti means doing. You know, thinking, feeling, willing. I want it done. Krishna employs these shaktis all the time. Krishna thinks, oh, I want this to happen. Ichcha, I'm desiring it like that. And then Kriya, just by Krishna's thought, it happens. So our minds also do it. The problem is, we are not the supreme. We are Jiva, we are not Ishvara. So you think something, and then you feel it, and then you want to do it, but you can't do it. Why? Because we're limited. Just too small. Anu. Anu means little. Krishna is Vipu, unlimited. Have you ever stood on the side of a cliff and you thought, I just want to jump off and fly? Have you ever thought like that? You never did?
Way back from the cliff.
Way back from
the cliff.
Okay. Get back from the cliff.
Too scary.
Yeah, too scary. But sometimes I'm there, like some, you're on a beach or something, a nice cliff, and then I'm there, and it's like, and I think, I just want to jump off and just fly. And then my intelligence says, wait a minute, you can't do it. No? Krishna can do it. If Krishna desires, you can just jump off. Or he can jump off, Garuda comes, he lands on Garuda and then flies off. For Krishna, no problem. I jump off and I say, oh, no, fall to the ground. Nothing is there. So thinking, feeling, willing, your mind does it all day. You have to learn to control. Now, very important, on the path of yoga, because we are all yogis. Hands up if you are a yogi. Okay, no one's a yogi. Okay, this is good. We don't even know what we are. We're all bhakti yogis. We are yogis, all of us. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, who is the topmost yogi? The one who always thinks of him. So you are a yogi, but you're the topmost yogi because you think of Krishna. We're on the path of bhakti. We're bhakti yogis. Right? So bhakti yogis, we have to understand the process of the mind. Right? Because Krishna says in 6th chapter of Gita, mind is best friend or worst enemy. So you have to learn how to deal with him. Now thinking, feeling and willing, that's what the mind does. Right? So you have to learn to control the mind at the thinking phase. Because if the mind contemplates the objects of its senses, jayato vishayam pumsam sangaste shupa jayate. Krishna says in Gita, 2nd chapter. Right? So, if you begin to contemplate thinking of something too much, sometimes you think of something too much. Oh, I like this, I like this, I like this. And then, ichcha, feeling. Right? When you get to that point, that's really difficult to control the mind. So you have to pull it back before you get to there. And then if you get to the third stage, which is willing. Now I must have it. Oh, under any circumstances, I must have it. Right? When you get to that point, very hard to control the mind. So you have to learn to control the mind in the first phase, which is thinking. Right? We all think of sense gratification. Ends up as sometimes you think of sense gratification. Okay. Some are honest. Yeah. Some are too shy. They're very advanced. I don't want to put my hand up. No, we all think of sense gratification. All of us. Sometimes. Because we've been in the material world for so long. So because we've been here for so long, sometimes we think of sense gratification. Right? But you have to learn to control it. When the mind is contemplating it, then divert the mind. Best way to do it is that you have so much service, you don't have time to think of it. Krishna says, 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, keep all abominable actions far distant by devotional service. Prabhupada said, a brahmacharini, is so busy in Krishna's service that at the end of the day, when their head hits the pillow, they just fall asleep instantly. They don't even have time to think about sense gratification. So engaged, and then at the end of the day, when it's time to take rest, let us go. Right? 6 hours later, someone turns the light on. Then. Krishna, okay, get up, do it again. Right? That's the way we're supposed to be. You don't give yourself time for sense gratification. Otherwise, in English we say, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. If you've got time, then you will think, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do that. Don't give yourself time. Because if you think, then you will feel. And if you feel, then you will. And if your mind gets to that point, you're very hard to control. That's like some crazy person. Right? The mind is like a madman. There's one saying, Bengali saying, Prabhupada quotes, a goat will eat anything, and a mad person will say anything. So if your mind gets to that final stage, he's like a mad person. He'll say anything. So you say to the mind, no, we're not going to do it. But he's like a mad person. No, 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 we can do it. We can do it. I know how to do it. Like a mad person. And you're dealing with this mad guy who's in there. Intelligence is sitting there looking at him going, what are you talking about? Are you the most stupid person in the universe? The mind's going, we can do it. Stop telling me. It's like a crazy guy. So you have to learn to control the mind. Otherwise he will control you. Krishna says in Gita, best friend, worst enemy. So make him your friend. So next is intelligence. Mind is controlled by Aniruddha. Intelligence is controlled by Pradyumna. Yeah, Pradyumna. Is it? No, it's not. Aniruddha controls the mind. Yeah, if you go through the Bhagavad, it's mentioned several times. Lord Aniruddha is the deity of the mind. Lord Pradyumna is the deity of the intelligence. Now, what is the intelligence? What does that do? Discriminates, yeah. It discriminates. This is good, this is bad. That's why the intelligence is good. Now, Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, when Krishna asks an interesting question. Arjuna asks an interesting question. Arjuna says, what is it that sometimes I do not want to do something, I know I should not do something, but there is some force which pushes me to do it, even though I know I should not do it. What is that? Is that a good question? That's a good question. Does anyone experience that?
We all do.
We all do, yeah. Yeah, you're a very honest man. We all do. We all feel like that sometimes. So because we all feel like that, it's a very good question. Actually, Arjuna's asking for us. Arjuna did not have a problem, but he's asking for us. So he asked the question. Then Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samubhava. Right? So he gives the answer. Now, then he begins to analyze it further. At the end of that third chapter of the Gita, he gives the analysis. Okay, all the children in ISKCON, calm down. Everyone be shanti. Okay. So, he analyzes, right? What is it? Right? And then he gives like an analysis of it. And then he says intelligence, buddhi, and Prabhupada makes a very important point, a very important comment in the purport. Prabhupada says, intelligence is the capital of lust. Yeah? Very important point. Because I would have thought, from my studies and my readings over the years, I would have thought mind was the real problem. But Prabhupada says, intelligence is the capital of lust. Right? Intelligence is meant to control the mind. That is its function. Right? You have to control your mind by your intelligence. But if the intelligence becomes lusty, now you've got a big problem. Because the mind's always going to give problems. And if the intelligence is also lusty and it's not controlled, the intelligence will justify or will assist the mind in fulfilling its desires. And then your life becomes very problematic. So you have to make your intelligence pure. Right? Now Krishna says, when he talks to Arjuna how to control lust, he gives two instructions. What are the two instructions?
Cutting out the beginning?
No. Not like that.
Two things. Practice and detachment.
Practice and detachment. Yeah. That's in the sixth chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is third chapter. Yeah, it's a different conversation. So if you go back to the third chapter, what does Krishna say? He says two things if you want to control lust. Right? And Prabhupada says, public enemy number one. What is your main problem? It's lust. All of us, same. Right? Lust is the issue in the material world. So how do we control lust? Right? So he says you have to have spiritually strong intelligence. Right. How does intelligence become strong? By hearing Shastra. Right? By reading Prabhupada's books and by hearing. Right? And when you hear, your intelligence becomes strong. And then when your mind has problems, you can just grab it. Right? And then the second thing he says, right, is that you have to practice. There has to be continuous practice. Right? And actually, what he says is regulation. Right? You have to regulate your life. Regulate your senses. That's how you control the... Oh, that's how you make the intelligence strong, by regulating. That's how you control lust, by regulation. You see, Prabhupada was the most regulated person. Right? Prabhupada was the most regulated. Right? How did Prabhupada regulate? Right? Everything. Right, get up same time, do the same thing, eat at the same time, morning walk, take rest after breakfast, massage. Everything was just, even when Prabhupada would take prasada, everything was like that. The Prabhupada would take prasada, I think at 12:30. I think that was the time, like that. So one time, one of Prabhupada's palika, she was. Prabhupada disciple, she's cooking for Prabhupada. So she cooked for Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada was in his room sitting at lunchtime, 12:30, and she came in and she said, because she was very conscientious to be on time, she said she must have been 3 minutes late. When she walked in, Prabhupada was just looking at the door. Prabhupada said, "I've been waiting for 12 years. Because Prabhupada said 12:30, meant 12:30. He meant 12:33. That's how regulated Prabhupada was. Right? Prabhupada was just sitting there. I've been waiting for 12 years. That's regulation. Prabhupada said two things when you worship the deity: cleanliness and punctuality. That's regulation. That's why it's good to do deity worship in every ashram, because it regulates you. Right? So this is what Krishna says. You want to control lust? Make your intelligence strong and become regulated, and then it's much easier. If you're not regulated, it'll become very difficult, and if your intelligence is not strong, everything will fall apart. Right? So how to control the mind, how to control the intelligence, and then finally, Sankarsana is in charge of false ego. False ego. Ahankara. What is false ego? False ego is the reflection of real ego. The soul has real ego. What is real ego? Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. I am Krishna's eternal. That's Jiva's Swarup. That is real ego. It means that ego is aham mameti. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur describes this at the end of Madhurya Kanambini. Right? In the material world, under false ego, we think aham, I am, and then we give a false designation. I am male, I am female, I am black, I am white, I am doctor, I am lawyer, like that. So that's false, upadi. Right? And then, mameti means those things I am attached to. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says we have to reverse that. Back to real ego. Aham, I am Krishna's eternal servant. Right? And when you become advanced, it means in a particular rasa. Right? And mameti means Krishna is mine. Instead of all these material things being mine, Krishna is mine. I am Krishna's, Krishna is mine. That's real ego. So that's how you overcome these things. So mind is easy to overcome. You just have to learn to deal with it. Intelligence is easy to overcome. You just have to learn. And ego is easy to overcome. Prabhupada said, just chant and be happy. But now we will struggle. Actually, it's very simple. Prabhupada said, simple for the simple, complicated for? Yeah. So, what sort of devotee are you? Simple one or complicated one? That's up to you. Right? Going back to Krishna is not hard. If you're simple, it's not hard. If you're complicated. So the problem is most of us are pretty complicated. Because we're like, oh, we'll serve Krishna about this and this and this. Ah, Prabhu. Ah, I have this problem. Ah, my mind. Same old. Just beat your mind and get on with the service. What's the problem? We complicate everything. And sometimes devotees say, oh, can I talk to you? I have some problems. They come and talk. And they're just like, it's just garbage. Right? My Guru Maharaj used to say sometimes he would give darshan. He said people would vomit. You know, sit down and then, you know, they get, what is the problem? You know, just garbage. All the, oh Maharaj, I've got this problem. Just beat your mind and serve Krishna. What's your problem? We're so complicated. Right? If you spend as much energy serving Krishna as you do listening to your mind, you would be a pure devotee. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please chant. Serve Krishna, Sri Krishna, Janmashtami. Take some prasad also. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Any questions or comments in Kali Yuga? Yes, sir.
So, regarding controlling the mind,
oh, God.
And you were speaking about the cool towers as well. So, usually the mind, it rejects certain things and accepts for certain things because it knows that there's only certain capacity no body can handle.
Mm.
And we might be able to control our mind, but our body won't be able to catch up with us. Like some people, maybe they say, oh, I can control my mind, and I can control it, but I might get sick. Or some people might be able to control their mind and just get up anytime. They might hang out on something. So where to draw the line?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Prabhupada said to Umapati Prabhu, who was one of Prabhupada's first disciples, this is like 1966, 67, 68, very early in the movement. Prabhupada said, not too much renunciation and not too much, can't remember what he said, like sense gratification or like enjoyment. But you know what I mean. Prabhupada said, the middle path. Don't be too renounced. That's not our sampradaya. There are other sampradayas who are very austere. We're not like that. Vaishnava is not like that. Not too renounced, but not too materially attached either. Just in the middle. So you just have to work it out by experience. Like I said, like, okay, cold showers. When I was 20, 21, I used to take cold showers even in winter. Right? But now I'm, you know, nearly 50. So now I can't do like that. If I do like cold shower, I might get sick. So then I have balance. But at the end I have cold. Right? Because otherwise I become too much weak in constitution. Right? Now, you know, quite often, you know, I stay at the farm, I come to Melbourne. And you come to Melbourne, everyone's like, oh, it's like coming to a hospital or something. Everyone's like, oh, Prabhu, I'm sick. Oh, I'm good sick. Like, the boys are sick all the time. The reason we get cold in winter is because it's cold, right? What's the opposite of cold? Heat. So make your body hot, right? Just go into a room and shut the door if you're doing like to self-conscious. Go in there and just jump up and down and do exercise and push out for 3 minutes. Your body will be warm, and half of your like feeling cold there will just go away. Devotees walk around, oh, I'm cold, I'm going sick. Just get warm. What's the problem? Just get on a bike or walk or run or swim or do something. Just go move for even 3 minutes. You'll start feeling different. Because wintertime in the Himalaya, it goes ice. Right? So what do? You have to melt the ice. Right? So if it's wintertime, just melt it, make it hot, and then you can still move and you're okay. You don't get so sick. This is the problem. So just find the balance, that's all. Don't be fanatical, but also, like you said, you know, sleeping, you know, you want to get, like, I want to get up at 2 o'clock every morning. But, you know, I go to bed most nights, 9 o'clock. You know, last night I didn't go to bed till after 10 because, you know, my service doesn't finish till after 9 o'clock. So then I need 7 hours sleep. So I go to bed at 10, I have to get up at 5 o'clock. Right? So then if I push myself, you know, I want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But if I go to bed at 10 and get up at 2, I can do that for one day. But if I do it in a few days' time, after a few days, I just like that. You know, it's a very strange Keshava. Right? Like, by sitting here giving class, I could say anything. Yeah. And, yeah, I saw a bird, and I thought Krishna was flying on it. And I can say it. Just means I'm not sleeping enough, that's all. So just be balanced. Just Prabhupada said middle path. That's it. Don't be too renounced, don't be too austere. That's all. Any other?
Yeah. He wasn't about they some the people that watch Lord Shiva, because it's very common that we come across with a few people using that. But what's the best approach to keep encouraging them,
they worship Lord Shiva? Yeah, a lot of people are attached to Shiva in India. They're attached, and in the West, a lot of people are attached. He's more popular than Krishna. So what I do, I just like this girl who's at the farm, she's attached to Shiva. I say, yeah, that's nice. I'm attached to Shiva. I love Lord Shiva. He's very inspiring to me. I pray to him every day. I find Lord Shiva very inspiring. So I just explain that how we see him, based on what the Bhagavatam teaches. The Bhagavatam doesn't say, Shivastu Bhagavan Swayam. It doesn't say that. No, it's an important point. It's an important point. That's why Prabhupada said you have to study the books. Because we have to be able to say to people, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Sixth canto shows Lord Shiva meditating on Sankarshan. Sankarshan is a expansion of Krishna. If you go to the tenth canto, there's multiple pastimes where Krishna shows his supremacy over Shiva. Right, the fight with Vrika, that whole pastime, and then there is the actual fight when Banasura. There's that whole pastime. There's multiple pastimes which show Krishna's supremacy. So we have to know the books, so we can say, oh, it says here, it says here, it says here. It doesn't say that Shiva defeats Krishna. Where is that pastime? It's not there. Right. And if you read the Acharya's commentaries, they say Lord Shiva is enjoying the fight because he knows it's giving Krishna pleasure. Imagine Shiva and Krishna fighting. What a powerful battle. It's an amazing battle. And Shiva's smiling because he knows, this is giving Krishna great pleasure. It's like, if we're wrestling together. Me and Mukesh, we're wrestling. Right? So we're just wrestling. Right? It's giving each other pleasure. We know. I'm just playing with him because I know I can beat him. Right. I'm just playing, and then at the end I'll just pick him up and just go boom, right, and then that's the end of it. Right. But it's good fun, right? So I pray. So we have to see it like that Lord Shiva, right, is playing with Krishna. He's enjoying the leela, but he knows it's just for Krishna's pleasure. He knows he's not going to defeat Krishna. Right. So you just explain like that. Most people, doesn't matter what you say, they're not going to change anyway. So don't get attached. It's like when I became a new devotee, every Christian that I met, I tried to convert them to become a Hare Krishna. Jesus is a devotee of Krishna. I used to spend hours with them. Didn't change anything. No. So when you come to the Shiva people and everything, just, tell them what the truth is. But don't expect them to change. Just give them prasadam and say, be happy. So, any other points?
Could you give some more examples on how regulation helps control
us? Because when you're regulated, it's very good for the health. It's very good for the mind. It's good for the body. Right? It's good for everything. You see, Prabhupada was perfectly regulated. Right? And everything, your body begins to work in a very natural way, and your mind also becomes. So regulation is necessary. And it creates control, because I'm doing this at this time, I'm doing that time. Like you eat at the same time every day. That's regulation. You eat the same amount at the same time every day. That's regulation. Yeah, you can eat different types of prasad, but if it's regulated, then it'll be much easier. Any other questions?
Sometimes, as you said, we should have the right balance. And we will think to ourselves that we need to give us a break, but we don't become like the fanatics. So, how do we get everything into perspective?
So, you don't become fanatic? Yeah. Yeah. The way not to become a fanatic is not to become a fanatic. Understand. Like, if you understand the philosophy, you won't become a fanatic. If you're immature as a devotee and as a person, you become a fanatic. You start telling everyone, oh, you have to do like this, you have to do like that, or even yourself, or, just relax a little bit. That's maturity. Right? Like, I know myself, I want to be like a certain type of devotee, but I'm not on that level. You know. So then I have to understand, like, hey, that's maturity. Understand, don't be fanatic, don't try to be something you're not, just try to be like, you know. Prabhupada said, don't be a great devotee, just be a good devotee. That's enough. Now, Burujan Puru says this to me sometimes. Just be a good devotee. You don't have to be some great devotee. Just be a good devotee. That's enough. That pleases Krishna. So don't become a fanatic. Control yourself. Don't be fanatical. And if you think you are fanatical, then you need gurus. Diksha gurus, shiksha gurus. They will tell you, hey, you say, oh, Prabhu, I'm like this. Hey, that's not good. You need to change something. So you need to always be asked. My Guru Maharaj said, I never make any decision by myself. And he was like that. He said, I don't trust any one person's mind, including my own. So don't make decisions yourself. You always get advice from the seniors. Okay? Any other question? What is this?
But the fourth stage, the
anatas, yeah.
So we have to work on that. So how can we understand
what's going on? Yeah, which stage you're on? Even when you're on the platform of nishta, it doesn't mean the anatas are 100% gone. Right? Anatas only fully disappear at the stage of bhava and prema. Right? So even when you're becoming steady, nishta means steady, then anattas are still there, not 100% gone. It's more like about 70% or something like that. Like most of it's gone, but there's still some things. So it just means gradually it will come. Gradually. This is a lifetime lifetime project. It takes a lot of time. So don't expect things to happen quickly or immediately. Right? Okay, you see the anattas there, just don't act on them, that's all. Material desires are there, but don't act on them, that's all. We all have them. It's not like they're all gone, but don't act on them. And then you have to look at yourself continuously. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi, you have to analyze yourself and see how have I progressed since the last Ekadashi. So as devotees, we have to look all the time. That's how you advance. Yeah, I look at myself all the time, every day practically, but all the time, see, am I going forward? Am I going forward? Am I going forward? Am I going backwards? Am I just treading water? So Jamashtami is coming. Right? So now, every Jamashtami, we look at ourselves. What was I like last Jamashtami? Have I progressed? Right? If you haven't progressed, you just wasted a year. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. You know, if you actually feel like that in your heart, like, you know, I haven't progressed, or I've gone backwards, that's serious. You need to seriously, you know, work on yourself. But we should always feel I'm going forward. You know? So Jamashtami is coming. You know, if I look at myself 1 year ago, I can see where I've progressed. But now Krishna has also shown problems that I have, or anattas I have, which have become more clear to me that I have to work on. So I feel like, okay, I've gone forward a certain degree, but now I'm more conscious of, you know, where I have to work on myself. Yeah. So both are going on. That's okay. Rupa Goswami says, bhakti in the stage of bhava, very advanced devotion, means that you become very enthusiastic and very hopeful of the Lord's mercy, but at the same time, you become very aware of your disqualification. So both things have to be there. You have to think, yes, Krishna is so merciful, I will get back to Godhead, but I'm so fallen. I have no qualification. So you have to be both simultaneously. That's how a pure devotee thinks. I'm so fallen, but Krishna is so merciful. It's okay. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.